Welcome to another episode of Pioneers vs. Pretenders. I'm your host, Joe Human. We're going to have a very interesting conversation, man. I've got someone very cool in the house. His name is Tommy Makobela. And look, man, I'm not going to introduce you, bro. I think you must do the honors.
I'm Tommy, as you said, aka Tom Bruce Makobela.
Where does the Tom Bruce come from? I've always wanted to ask.
Okay, so Tom Bruce comes from both my names. So I'm Tommy and Bruce. So those are both my names from my parents. Cool. So I just made sure that I have one name out of it. Because I used to go by the name TB before, using them as initials. But now, when everybody sees you, they cough, you know? And then now it becomes
like... I was actually about to be like, well, wasn't TB like...
Exactly. And then with mine, it was like T-E-E-B-E-E. You understand? Just to take it out of tuberculosis. Yeah. But now everybody used to bring it there. And I was like, ah, no, I'm tired of this.
In the house.
There we go. Yeah.
So, man, I bumped into your Instagram profile and I bumped into a very interesting word, and it was brand architect.
Yes,
so what is that, and why do our brands need architects, and why do our brands need to be built?
All right. So we live in a space where in today's age, people need to identify yourself with your brand before they could become a customer, before they could become a client. You know, before, when people used to do sales, they used to buy you as a person first. This will depend on how you're dressing, you know, how you look, how confident are you, or your body language when you sell. So that people used to buy that before they used to buy the product that you're selling. So these were people who were selling door to door or wherever, where they would pitch. So in today's age, we live in a space where internet rules everything. And now every brand needs to look cool. Every brand needs to look relevant to what is happening in today's age. So I'm passionate about building brands and then making sure that we portray them, or we actually present them to the world as doper brands as possibly as they can be.
You know, we're always constantly talking about brand building, building brands. And I feel like there's so much information that gets lost within these statements. What does it actually take to build a brand? Like, what is the process behind actually building a brand? Where is the start? Where is the finish? You know, where is the middle?
Absolutely. So a lot of people mistaken a brand and a company, you understand? And then that's two different concepts, because a company is a brand on its own. Okay. Do you understand? A company is the day-to-day runnings of whatever that you are doing, that is you running. And that's behind or besides the point of being a brand. A brand is what people know. A brand is what people identify themselves with. You understand? So, for example, Coca-Cola. What comes into your mind when you think Coca-Cola? You think of whatever that they did now. You think of the Share Coke, you know, with Joe, or Share Coke with Tommy. You understand? You think of their taste. You think of how they present themselves, their adverts in the store, how they package themselves, the bottle, whatever. So that's brand building, you understand? From you building the look and feel of your product. Okay. If it's a service, you delivering the message of that service, you communicating what is it that you can do. And I read something cool today that specifically said, we need to be able to sell the problem, not the product. Do you understand? So us having to build brands, it's for us to portray them as problem solvers, also to give them that communication that this is a brand that is trying to solve this problem.
I think that's one thing we really miss as entrepreneurs or creators, is that we're actually here to create content or to create businesses and companies that actually solve real problems. And, you know, I'm always on Twitter and I'm always like getting, like, you know, attacked because that app is just about attacking. I tweeted something about, hey, just don't just start a brand because you want to survive. You know, start a brand to expand, start a brand to build something.
Yeah.
And I came under fire for that tweet. And I feel like people don't understand that you do whatever you do to create value and to solve problems, because people want to pay for that.
Absolutely. You know? I mean, values is also one of the things that a brand needs to make sure that they prioritize. You understand? What is it that you stand for? What is it that you want people to talk about when they talk about you? What is it that you want people to think of when they think about you? You know, as is that said, because your brand becomes alive when you're in your coffin. You understand? People don't take much of consideration, or they don't care about whatever that you do in this day and age. And this is you building your brand towards whatever that you want to achieve. But as soon as you're in the coffin, bro, your brand comes to life. You understand? Look at what is happening now with Nipsey Hussle. A lot of people didn't know about the name. A lot of people didn't know about the things that he used to do. You understand? But now that he's in the coffin, everybody's talking about him. And what are they doing? They're talking about all his good deeds. You understand? So now he's a brand that everyone is associating themselves in. He's a brand that is inspirational to everyone that, yo, I need to do good work. I need to serve my community. I need to do this. So that's personal branding on its own. And also companies do that as well. You understand? Like Nokia, what they did with the Microsoft thing. You understand? That was them trying to step into another field. However, that died. And then look at what everybody was talking about Nokia, talking about Nokia, talking about Nokia. Guess where it is today? Let's look at the journey Huawei had 10 years, 5 years before. They were routers only. They started with having phones that were not really competitive in the market. But now people are struggling paying or affording the Huawei.
Exactly.
You understand? So brand building is very as important as everything else.
So when we tackle the topic of brand building, right, what would you say is the distinction between a strategist and a specialist?
I get that a lot, seemingly, that I am a digital marketing strategist. So a specialist is someone who is an expert. However, they're an expert in one field. You understand? Or a few fields, rather. Let's not just box them. So a specialist is the one who takes orders and makes sure that the execution is as dope as possible, because they've worked in that field for the longest time. They know the do's and don'ts. They know the advantages and the disadvantages. You understand? And they are able to answer any question that you come up, because they specialize in this thing. You understand? They execute it. They make it grow. However, a strategist on another side is a person who puts the puzzle together. You understand? Who tells you this is what, this is what. You understand? They tell you about where this is going, comparing it to the competitors, comparing it to similar trends or similar vibes or whatever that is that they have experienced before. So a strategist is a specialist on steroids. I always say that.
would you say that a strategist also sort of taps into the emotional side of brand building?
Because absolutely,
that is one thing that I feel a lot of brands miss when communicating their messaging. They completely forget that, look, we are communicating to human beings, you know. What is the human language? What is the human habits? How do we tackle those touch points?
So with strategy, right, a lot of things need to be put into consideration. A lot of research needs to go into place. A lot of topics, trendings, and hunting needs to go into place. You understand? It is not an easy thing, because you need to find out that some strategists have been specialists before. We understand? That is how they can be able to differentiate a lot of things, because they've worked in the field and they've worked out of the field. So now they're able to get two of the both worlds and bring them into one. And then now it's easier for them to strategize for whatever content, for whatever trend, for whatever that is coming their way in the specific field. You understand? So being a strategist is basically you having to build up. You understand? Starting something from scratch, and then seeing it grow, and then having specialists doing what you give them orders to do. Do you understand? So say, for example, I as a digital marketing manager, you bring me a brand. Say, for example, let's use a hair care product, for example, right? I have to have that emotional feel to feel what is the aim? What is it that they're trying to achieve? What is it that they want to build out of
this? What's the
message? You understand? Yes. And then we have to share the sentiments as the brand owner. Because now I am the one who has to bring this brand to life. I'm the one who needs to strategize for this brand. You understand? And then we hire the specialist. We would hire a special photographer. We'd hire a special videographer. You understand? We'd hire a special social media manager that I also have to give content to. Do you understand? That I have to strategize from scratch. You understand? So this is the difference between a strategist and a specialist. Because a specialist can be someone in doing best in one field. Mm-hmm. That's why you even find a specialist in photography, but videography, they're not that good. Yeah. Do you understand?
What would you say it takes to become a great strategist? Like, what are, from your personal experience,
mm-hmm.
what are the processes? What are the habits? How do you find ideas or concepts? How do you put this puzzle together for the brands that you work with?
It comes with studying the brand. It comes with studying the trends. Mm-hmm. You know, it comes with a lot of studying, brother. You need to be teachable. That's also one thing. You need to learn and unlearn things as constant as possible. So you need to be always on top of the flag. You understand? You need not to be in the bottom, because once you're in the bottom, you are missing a lot that could actually work in your favor. A strategist can be able to talk about or use what is being talked about to create a brand out of it. Do you know that it's easier for me to create a content for a brand, even it can be a clothing brand, financial brand, any brand, in things that are being talked about in the government space, in things that have been talked about on Twitter, whatever that is trending on Twitter, we can be able to utilize that into giving a brand some more message, and then it becomes relevant. You understand? So it is that puzzle of you having to learn and unlearn stuff, you having to know what is working and what is not working.
Yeah.
You understand? A lot of, we love taking in as much information as possible. And then you find out that some information is irrelevant, because it's not really blocking your way for new information or anything, but it's just, you need to let go of these things. You have used it, it has worked, move on to another thing. And then you constantly need to redevelop yourself, redevelop your brain cells, redevelop your information. That is how a strategy lives. A strategist lives right now.
How does a strategist implement social media into their workflow? Because I mean, look, you can create content, but
mm-hmm.
not every client
mm-hmm.
Understands how does the content live online. You know, how do they take it online and implement it online? So how does a strategist do that? Obviously through the specialist, but
mm-hmm.
how do they structure that content
mm-hmm. okay.
so that it communicates the right messaging?
So I'm going to go back to a haircare product again, mm-hmm. since it's an example I've used before.
Mm-hmm.
So you own a haircare product, right? You need to see customers using your product so that you can be competitive in the market, or you can see that your whatever that you're trying to build is growing.
Yeah.
So the only thing that is making a strategist come to life in this part is, how do we get customers to use your brand?
Mm.
You understand? So now, what messages do we communicate? What campaigns do we build? Do we build competitions? Do we build more advertising? Do we build more content that is relating to what people need to hear, or testimonies, you understand? Or a lot of information into tips, how to use maybe a cream or a moisturizer, you understand, how often to wash your hair. It's odd that I'm talking about a hair care product, but as I'm a guy, but however, I'm just sharing something that is very basic, you understand, mm-hmm. very not easy, but it's something that you also can think of. However, but to make it great, that is where we differ. Because you can make it great on what you think of, and then I can make it great from what you think of and what 10 other people think of, and I build content out of that.
Yeah.
So that's the strategies for you.
Would you say social media has influenced the strategic field in a good way or a bad way?
In a very good way. In a very good way. Seemingly that you can be able to now have more perspective than before.
Okay.
You having to have a perspective means you'd had to read an article 5 or 10 years ago, you understand, to understand more in depth about one thing. But however, right now you can put a product, you can put an Apple MacBook and say, what do you guys think? I probably, you're going to have 50 comments that are going to spark some interest.
Mm.
Some are going to be like, oh, okay, I already knew that, or I didn't know that. And then all these messages or all these responses become part of how you can conclude how you see the brand. So it's an easier way to have communications. That's number one. So that's communications. Number two, as we have different platforms, we have Facebook for these conversation starters and whatever. Mm. We have Twitter for, you know, they have you, but you constantly...
Twitter's wild.
Yeah, Twitter is wild. Hey, man, that is what it is. But however, it's, you know, what I've seen is that I'm not that big on Twitter. However, I understand almost everything that is going around because some people want to feel appreciated on Twitter, you know, and hence they have some pettiness, some have happiness that they want to portray, some they have obstacles that they have achieved or whatever, you understand? And then all of this...
Some have fire threads,
you understand? And some build content for others to learn, to teach others, which is a good thing. Also, they can still have you while you give them content to feed them. You understand? True. However, you having to be halved, right? It's you constantly to help you redevelop yourself. Mm. That is how I look at it. Because if you say, I am a best strategist, you're going to receive 80% bad responses, 20% good, or the other way around. Mm. And then that questions you on your own space on, wow, okay, I say I'm 80%. I am a great strategist, but this person is asking me these questions that I didn't know about, or this person is taking me in information that I didn't think of, or I didn't see it this way. And I said, guess what that builds now? You are now learning. True. You understand? You are now learning in the process of, this person commented like this. Hey, son, I shouldn't have opened this can of worms. But you having to open a can of worms, that is you stepping out of your comfort zone to learn and unlearn some of the things and to get more information to things.
Mm.
So... being a strategist, bruh, it's you being able to appreciate and receive as much perspectives as possible, and then you using the bad, the good into one thing, you understand, so that you can have to build a stronger brand.
You know, speaking about redeveloping yourself, I've went through your Instagram profile, and you're really not that big. I think you're just under like 900 followers.
Yeah.
But there's this big misconception in our society where for you to be able to work for a brand or to work with brands or be an ambassador, you need to have a high number of followers.
Yep.
And you recently just became the brand ambassador for Code Originals.
Absolutely.
You
know,
how did you do it?
You see, so it's strategy. There's a lot of things that comes with social media. There's influencer marketing, there's content creations, there's a lot, you understand? There's how you portray yourself, how the messages that you communicate. Some brands are looking for that. Some brands are not looking for your number. Mm. Some brands are looking for impact.
Mm.
You understand? Not everyone who's following you can be able to have impact on my brand. You understand? Not everyone who's giving you likes and retweets are going to go out and buy the product you are advertising.
Yes.
You understand? But now, if I have 500 followers on Instagram and then I have a post about the brand that I'm maybe marketing or advertising, and you have at least 100 people question about that, or you have at least 10% of them asking questions about it, that's a good thing. That's a number that you can be able to constantly redevelop going forward.
Mm.
So it is amazing because brands in the clothing space are looking for numbers, right? Brands in the clothing space are looking for you to have at least 10,000 followers, 5,000 followers for you to work with them. However, they forget that some people, even though they can have 1 million followers, are not good for your brand because they can't take your brand further. You understand? I, as a strategist, can build your brand with the little followers that I have. And then not only for my followers, but for your followers as well.
Mm.
And for other people's followers, because if my content is getting shared, then that means it's good content for other people, and that other people will share the content as well. You understand? So now it becomes a replica effect that a strategist gets to be able to calculate on, this is what is going to happen. You understand? Yesterday, I've announced myself as a brand ambassador for Code. A lot of people already are looking into Code. Code actually got a lot of profile visits in their social media spaces, and their website and everything. People are shaped into how now they're going to buy their next item at Code Essay because of how I portrayed the brand, because of the values I shared from myself as a strategist to the brand. That is a very big concept as well that people get to misinterpret, because you are coming in to a brand and then you are thinking you're going to be a Pharrell Williams of the brand, only to find out that the brand doesn't need that. A brand needs you to be the real you to the brand, so that people can fall in love with you and the brand. You don't have to try hard sometimes. Yes, you need to go an extra mile for a brand, but you need to differentiate between the two.
How do micro influencers or just content creators monetize their content? How do they get it to make money for them?
You see, content creators, right? It's about you giving brand life, basically. You are the fool to the brand.
Mm.
You understand? For example, nobody knew that I had my content shared in Brazil for Apple Ties. Mm. And this was me waiting for a meeting in Adopia Zero in Rosebank. And then I was the only first person outside of Brazil to have my content in their pages. You understand? So it's how you portray the content to be shared by other people. How does it mean? What does it mean to the brand owners, to the brand managers? You understand? You can't just have a product and just take a picture with it and then hoping for the best.
Mm.
It's how you portray the goodness of the brand or the other side of the brand that makes developers love the content that you are building, and that they can be able to bring you in their office. They can be able to have lunch with you and ask you, can you do more of these?
Mm.
You understand? Can you be able to give us life as you did with this post? Or can you be able to build more content for us? And then this is where you talk numbers. I love what Brother Tibbs said, that you don't get what you deserve. You get what you negotiate. So we need to negotiate on how we carry yourself. Negotiating is not only between a brand owner and the content creator, but the message you relay to your content, or the message you relay in your platform, that you negotiating for the better good. You might be working with a certain brand, but the moment you are portraying content for them, or the moment you are sharing content for them, you are actually sparking an interest to another brand that they would want to have a discussion with you as soon as your campaign is done with them, or they can even poach you from that campaign. So you need to be smart about that.
Bro, fire conversation. Thank you so much for the insight.
Our brother.
Thank you for making it to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Really valuable information. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And we're out. See you guys on the next episode.
Bam, bam.